No, I'm right. The podcast that uncovers the origin stories of some of the biggest names in media, sports, entertainment, entrepreneurship, book writing, and so much more. Nick Durst here along with Joe Calabrese. And Joe, our guest today, she is younger than us, and I think she's written more books in her lifetime than, you know, most of us have had birthday parties. So I want you to let everybody know who is joining us here today on this episode.
Yeah, so you kind of alluded to it at the end, book writing. We've had people on with us before, former, you know, media people who have written books before. But she is known for her work. She's a writer and an author, just like her mother. She's also an actress, an influencer, and an activist. So she is a true quadruple threat, and we're very, very happy to have her on. We welcome Carrie Burke to the show. Carrie, welcome to You Know I'm Right. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. Thank you guys for having me.
So Nick and I are from New York City. So what is it like growing up in Manhattan? Because my father is from Manhattan. He's from the Chinatown area, so I know Manhattan quite well. But growing up in Manhattan, especially the borough itself, is much different than growing up in any of the outer boroughs or any of the outer areas in the city. So talk to us and tell us what it was like growing up in Manhattan.
I absolutely loved growing up in Manhattan. I can't imagine myself anywhere else. I think it taught me from a really young age to be independent and to chase my own career goals, because I realized that so many of these people that I was surrounded with in Manhattan were chasing after their dreams. There's this hustle mentality embedded in Manhattan with, you know, the hustle and bustle of just society here. So I feel like from a young age, I was kind of like seeping into society and just like felt this almost pressure to become one of them, but I fit like right in. I absolutely love Manhattan. Just from like a super young age, I wrote my first book when I was 8. I just like always wanted to kind of hustle and like make a name for myself here.
So you're talking about chasing, moving, and being motivated. Let's talk about running the New York City Marathon. How painful is that? I mean, you get the euphoria, I'm sure, once you cross the finish line, but how long did it take you to recover after doing that? And what was the buildup like for that, getting ready, training?
Oh my God. So I broke both of my shins about like 5 months before I started training. So I was really like out of shape. I had to take 3 months off from training. And then I kind of turned around and decided to run it just because, like, why not? I wanted like the big comeback story. I trained for 8 months because it takes a little bit longer after injury. And it was just the craziest experience. I absolutely loved it. Like just getting up every Saturday morning and running like a half marathon plus was just something so surreal. And the marathon day itself, I think it was one of the hottest New York City marathons ever in 2022. So that was kind of brutal. And I was okay up until like the last hour I was running, and I kind of fell apart, but I finished, and that's what matters. The medal is sitting behind me on the wall.
There you go, right by the Peloton. So you
right by the Peloton.
Keep in shape. So what was the last thing you ate before the marathon and the first thing you ate after?
Last thing I ate before the marathon, probably like a cup of cereal with milk. That was like my go-to, just like kind of loading up on carbs before I run. I also had like those energy gels the entire time, which were absolutely disgusting. I wanted to hurl like every single time I had one. And then after the marathon, I threw up after I crossed the finish line a few times. So I really like was not hungry, and I didn't have an appetite, crazy enough, even though like I just puked everything up. Like I was not hungry for some reason. So I went to the medical tent, and they were like basically like shoving like salt packets down my throat and like Gatorade, chicken soup,
right.
Like just really bland stuff.
I can imagine that medical tent gets pretty crowded.
It literally was like a war zone. It was crazy. Like there were so many people there. And then like I crossed the finish line at 4:30. I didn't get home until 9. It was crazy. I just spent so much time there, like recovering afterwards, when like all I wanted was just to go home.
Yeah, well, you can always say you did it now. You have the medal to prove it.
Impressive.
Made a great accomplishment in your life.
I'm doing it again next year.
Doing it again next year, I'd say. Got training. Actually, not the first person we've had on, Joe, that's run the marathon with us. So
yeah.
There's a bunch of people there who they all live in Manhattan, so it must be something in the water there across the Hudson. So
you guys are next. You
we'll
guys
see.
Are
next.
We'll see.
So you grew up as you alluded to, and Joe alluded to, your mother was an author, Cheryl. So how much of an influence did she have on you as far as just your love of books, reading books? What are some of the first books you read? And ultimately, how did you just end up being like, you know what, maybe this is a career path for me?
So in elementary school, I was actually never a strong reader. Like, they leveled us based on our reading skills, and I was always like a pretty low level in reading, believe it or not. But writing came pretty naturally to me. I guess it's in my blood. I grew up watching my mom like type away at her computer, just being super passionate about what she does. And that kind of like fed into my passion for writing as well. So when I learned about it in elementary school, I instantly like fell in love with storytelling through words. And that's kind of stuck with me to this day through what I do now, which is journalism and memoir writing. But yeah, it all started probably back in like second grade.
It's crazy. So you write your first book early on, you know, you mentioned before, you're 8, which is really impressive. You launch the Cupcake Club novel series. So you have this idea. Tell us about the process of first pitching it to your mom and then having your mom, I guess, get it pitched to her editors or her publishing company. And then what was the process like writing a book at that age?
Yeah, so I basically had an idea. I convinced my mom to submit it to her book agent, and they really loved this idea of a mother-daughter book series. So it was just a super collaborative process. Obviously, I'm 8. I don't have the vocabulary that, you know, my mom does. So she did like the bulk of the work, and then she would pass it along to me, and she'd go, okay, what's missing here? And I would write her something, and she'd kind of like fix it up. So we kind of like go back and forth, bounce ideas off each other. I'd like insert like chapters here and there. I loved editing back then. She would print out a manuscript for me, and I'd like redline her manuscript. So I had like a passion for editing from a really young age. But yeah, I think over the years, I've really come into my own as a writer. Although I loved collaborating with my mom, I think there's something to be said about like stepping into your own and developing your own voice in writing and journalism. And that's something that I've worked really hard to do. And it's kind of difficult when you have a mom with such a great reputation, but I'm really trying to kind of build my own platform.
Absolutely. And you've certainly done that. And we'll discuss a lot of the current stuff you're working on, of course, but what was it like having your books inspire off-Broadway musicals? And what was the process like for you in that at all? And what was it like watching that stuff and be performed?
Yeah, that was really fun. So at the time, I was into theater, not so much anymore. But I loved like writing and obviously loved writing. And I obviously was like doing other stuff on the side as well. So I was in school and I was doing like school plays and acting and singing and dancing. So that kind of just combined my two passions when we got that opportunity for Peace, Love, and Cupcakes to be an off-Broadway show. So I actually got to star in it. I got a hand in the casting process. So that was just a really cool, like, once-in-a-lifetime experience. It's just a really nice, like, fond memory that I look back on.
So you have a pretty strong, significant social media following. When did you start to realize that there was a spike happening, that your popularity was increasing, and how do you leverage your social media following into other things that you're doing?
So I started off in social media probably in 2017. I was writing this fashion blog kind of for myself, and I started posting on social media because I wanted a platform to post my articles and promote them more. So I started to see a little bit of growth back then, but it wasn't until the pandemic when I started posting on TikTok. Everyone is stuck at home. We were kind of all online scrolling through TikTok all day long for hours that I really started to see growth. So I had a few viral videos that happened overnight. And from there, I just stayed super consistent and started to grow my platform. And as you say, like, you can use your platform to leverage other projects you're doing. So I'm really grateful that I have this big following and that I can promote my book to such a big following. And I try to just, you know, be authentic about it. I've always, you know, 100% authentically myself on TikTok and Instagram. And that's really what this book is. This is 100% me. This is what happens behind closed doors, behind those cheesy TikTok voiceovers. And I feel like that's a side of me that my TikTok followers and Instagram followers would hopefully want to see.
So about your writing, you've written for the New York Post, the Huffington Post, and SB Nation. So you've had some other professional stuff out there. Talk about the experience of writing for all those publications.
Yeah, so that's endgame for me. That's like my top goal, what I'm really passionate about most. I love journalism. I love telling other people's stories and uncovering like what makes them unique. That's really where my passion for writing stems from today. So I enjoy it a lot. I really hope to get a job at a magazine or a newspaper, some media publication when I graduate college in the spring.
Well, Jo Carey, she wants to tell people stories. So maybe there should be a feature on the You Know Right podcast, because we have quite the story, that's for sure. We'll see, we'll see. So for you, Carey, what's the biggest difference when it comes to writing an article versus writing your books?
Well, I think what made the book so interesting, My Real Life Rom-Com, is that I was telling my own story for once. As a journalist, I'm so used to telling other people's stories, which I love. I have such a passion for interviewing people, but this was more introspective. This caused me to really look within and analyze my life and certain situations and talk about my emotions. I've always heard that the best writing is true writing. And I think this is one of my proudest works because of that. I feel like my strongest writing is when I'm able to speak from my heart and speak with truth and vulnerability and honesty. And that's what I've really done here. So that's, I think, the main difference. But what makes journalism so special is that you're able to hopefully connect with your interview subject and get them to open up in a similar manner to you to be able to tell their story.
So let's talk about My Real Life Rom-Com. Talk to us of the process of writing that. And
there it is. Show us, it up if you're watching us again. On YouTube, yeah. Or on streaming right now.
Yeah, I imagine a lot of people are going to be watching this on YouTube. But yeah, you could hold up the close-up of the book right up against the screen for everybody to see.
There it is.
There it is.
Right there.
I love that. Absolutely love that. So talk about the process of writing that, the inspiration behind that.
So My Real Life Rom-Com kind of fell into my life organically. I started writing it without even knowing I was writing it when I was 16. I had just gone through my first heartbreak and I turned to writing to help pick me back up again. Writing was a form of self-therapy. It helped me find closure and process my emotions in a way that kind of just sitting there and crying wouldn't. So I wrote this diary entry, basically, a really long diary entry about my relationship and just put it aside, didn't think twice about it. And then during the pandemic, I looked back on it because I was so lonely and I wanted to remember what being in love felt like. And I realized that I was kind of worried about losing my memories. I didn't know how long the pandemic was going to go on for. And I didn't want to lose my memories related to dating and love and the lessons that I've learned. So I just started writing down everything I could remember, every experience. And it was a series of personal essays that I was going to submit to a Cosmopolitan or 17, some publication. But I showed them to a friend one day and she said that it would be so much more powerful if all these personal essays came together and formed a book. So something that started off as a form of self-therapy and a means of finding closure became something so much greater because I realized there really are no dating guides written out there by a teenager for teenagers. And nobody knows teenage life, especially this unique teenage life we're living in today and, you know, the world of social media. Nobody knows that better than another teenager. So I wanted this book to be this relatable tool that teens would be able to level with and be comfortable reading and not feel like they're being told how to date, who to date, but have a good time reading this and feel like they're not alone in these experiences.
So do you think there's any chance for, maybe you can't say, any sort of adaptations for a streaming platform or anything along those lines? I mean, I know you're a little familiar with stuff like that in the past, but what do you think? Any hopes for that happening?
Oh, definitely hopes for that happening. I really hope so. If you guys know anyone, hit me up. I need someone.
But, we're in the same boat.
You never know who's going to read it, whose daughter is going to pick it up.
Yeah. Exactly. You know what? I'm young right now. I'm finishing up college. I'm not in any rush. But obviously, like, if this turned into a Gen Z Sex and the City, that would be my dream come true.
So where are you going to school right now? And I'm assuming, are you studying journalism?
Yeah, I'm studying journalism in New York City. I'm going to graduate in the spring. So thank God we made it.
So at the top, I mentioned you were an activist, right? So yeah. In terms of the journalism path, what do you want to specifically cover and research on, and where would you like to be working in the next couple of years?
So I love writing about all different areas of life. I love writing about fashion and beauty, and I also love writing about sports. I'm a huge NFL fan. So I kind of can see myself going anywhere. I'm not going to really place myself in a box right now. I'm kind of going to see where I end up. I'm most passionate, I think, about features writing, telling other people's stories, gathering quotes from sources, doing interviews. That's what I love the most. But I'm not going to place myself in a box because there are so many areas of journalism that I'm just obsessed with.
All right, I'm going to ask the question that's on Joe's mind right now, which is, what is your favorite football team?
Okay, so I'm a Bills fan. That's the Jets-Eagles game on Sunday.
Okay.
Now you're speaking Joe's language because he's a big Jets fan.
Oh, not the Jets. Really?
Yeah, we're miserable people.
Oh, no. That was wild. Like, being there, I hadn't been to a football game in I don't know how many years. And it was just wild. Like, witnessing the energy and how crazy fans on both sides were. Like, just banging on chairs, like, cursing at each other. It was crazy to witness in person.
That's what you'll get with the Eagles fans.
Those rowdy Philadelphia people.
Yeah. So, Carrie, in your life so far, or in your career, or in school, what would you say is your right moment? So even by that, is a time or place where you wanted to pursue something, you asked somebody for advice, they pushed back and said, that's kind of crazy, you shouldn't do that. And you're like, you know what, I'm going to do it anyway. And ultimately, you'll see why it is that I'm right.
Oh, I feel like I've had a few of those moments. Probably the most recent one was at my book launch party, because I had so many people tell me, like, the idea for this book was stupid. You know, why would you want to talk about your personal life in the public eye? I had, like, book agents turn me down, just like a lot of people say no to this book. And then watching all of these people show up for me at my book launch party to support me, and hearing the book reviews and the positive reviews, I just think that was a really, really special moment for me, where I kind of just looked at it and I was like, you know what, I'm right. This was a good decision.
It was an excellent decision. Carrie, you've accomplished a lot so far in your young life, and Nick and I, we wish you the best moving forward. Last question from me before we let you go. I tend to be the astrology person between Nick and I. Now, if the internet is to be correct, then I do know your sign. So this is something for Nick that do you know or do you don't know?
Do I know a sign?
If I had a guess, I would say I'm getting some Sagittarius vibes here.
Wait, he definitely Googled that.
Yeah, I think he cheated this time around.
You can sit on him.
We have a lot of people on.
I think the last two times you asked me, I got it right. Just as a guess. The thing is, Carrie, I only can name like three or four zodiac signs, so I kind of just like name the three of them, and like that's really, I couldn't name all the signs. I know Gemini, I know Leo, I know Sagittarius. That's probably it.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
So he's got a 1 in 3, well, technically 1 in 3 chance based on the ones that he knows. But
yeah, there you go. I'm convinced you Googled that. There's no way. I'm also not an astrology girl, so.
I don't know anything about astrology.
Okay.
Joe's going to interpret your sign now for you.
Oh, okay. Let's go.
Okay. You're Sagittarius, right?
Yes.
Sagittariuses are fire signs. Fire signs usually are initiative people, right? They're assertive type of people. So they like to take the lead on stuff. Sagittarius people, and they love acquiring knowledge. They are incredible listeners and like what you want to do in journalism. They're always the kind of people who like to get to the bottom of everything because they think there's, again, deeper knowledge in everything, right? So do you relate with that in any way?
I think so. The wheels are turning in my head as you're saying it.
Astrology is something that I think is watered down and dumbed down for a lot of people. And when you see it in a mainstream kind of context, I think a lot of people are like, you know, you resonate with some things, you don't resonate with some things. I think there's still a long way to come. But yeah, in general, it's a lot more convoluted. But when you have the time to go into detail with it, I think it's a pretty accurate tool to assessing people, right? Because I'm a Cancer and Nick is a Gemini. So I think Nick definitely is like a Gemini. I think I'm definitely like a Cancer. I see the Sagittarius in you, even if you don't necessarily see it in yourself. So.
Yeah, I think I see it. I got to do some more research after this call. I want to look it up now. Learn more about my sign.
Yeah, you inspired the next book or article.
Yeah.
Right. Do astrology dating or astrology writing or...
That's a good idea for an article. No, yeah. I learned about my star sign for the first time at 20 years old.
There you go.
Wow. What about that, Joe?
What about that? We're giving her ideas.
I like that. Okay.
We'll need royalties, though.
Thanks for that one. That's good.
Just kidding. Anyway, Gary, we appreciate your time. Thank you for joining us. What we do here is we always give our guests the last word. So if there's anything else you would like to share or promote for yourself at the end here, by all means, go ahead. We had a lot of fun doing this. And again, we wish you the best of luck moving forward. Wish you the best of luck in school and wherever your career takes you.
Thank you. I guess last thing I want to say is just if you're interested in checking out my real life rom-com, it's available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Walmart, Target, anywhere you can get books. And you can find me on social media at Carrie Burke.
All right, there you have it. Go buy the book, My Real Life Rom-Com, out now, available where you get your books. And we want to thank Carrie for her time today. This has been a really fun interview. And that's going to do it here for this episode of You Know I'm Right. For our very special guest, Carrie Burke, for my co-host, Joe Calabrese, I'm Nick Durst, and this has been You Know I'm Right.